Chapter 10. All's well. Where thou art, Earth, and why? If we are still inclined to see things the old way, that we are all alone here, one in sextillion stars, and that we are the sole seed of astounding consciousness anywhere in either infinity or eternity, that is dazzlingly, almost infinitely, unlikely. And so, it must be a miracle to be valued beyond literally everything else that preposterously we take for granted, if not utterly disregard, daily. Another miracle dies every 4 seconds from hunger. But it takes tremendous imagination and courage to face all likelihood. In all likelihood, we are a few generations away from joining a universe completely filled with consciousness, which contains knowledge vastly more complete than ours, consciousness that regards goodness, sharing, and conservation as bedrock. Consciousness provides us with the capacity to take in everything that comes our way. The more we know of our universe and of our place in it, the more there is within ourselves of which to be aware. Consciousness can comprehend the entire universe so that whatever we discern on our outside may also be awakened within us all. Consciousness is more or less uniform. Only knowledge and experience vary. Knowledge and experience are not consciousness any more than data and code are computing capacity. Consciousness may be affected by knowledge and experience, though when it is, most often, it is distracted by them. That consciousness exists without either knowledge or experience is evident in every infant. An infant human, abandoned and raised by deer, would hardly be the same as a deer, and might very well be more conscious than a cousin who became a lawyer and spent their entire life in rumination of facts and law, rather than of wild grasses and flowers. Wherever consciousness occurs in the universe, it is just as it is here. More consciousness is like more alive. Buddha could not be more enlightened if he'd meditated 1,000,000 years more, nor Jesus more loving. There is no difference between consciousness and love, yet there is a sum of them. Together, they equal something astonishing. Consciousness is a capability in us whose marvelousness depends only upon the imagination and courage of its humble, ever so fortunate host for a time. When we evolve into proper astonishment, it becomes us well. We seem to be examples of how there came to be consciousness in the universe. My favorite from the Gospel of Thomas is, Jesus said, "If the flesh came into being because of the Spirit, it is a wonder. But if the Spirit came into being because of the body, it is a wonder of wonders. Indeed, I am amazed at how this great wealth has made its home in such poverty." Thomas, verse 29. If God created the flesh, it is a wonder. But if the flesh created consciousness, that would be a wonder of wonders. Again, it's little surprise that these words of Jesus were not embraced by Rome. And another favorite, "Let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all." Thomas, verse 2. Ourselves and all others like us are the universe's vessels of consciousness. With consciousness comes awareness of responsibility, and that can be very troubling indeed. But also there comes astonishment. Perhaps when we feel that with the most exquisite sensibility, we do rule over the all. We may be, after all, the most wonderful constituents of the universe, its vessels of consciousness, of astonishment, and of love. Every moment we behave like that is what we are is a moment of abundance that no amount of money can increase and of satisfaction that no amount of power alone can ever achieve. So it is no wonder we feel bad when we behave like we are something less. If the whole of the consciousness of us all in the universe is greater than the sum of its parts, then the cumulative consciousness in the universe is greater than the sum of some 10 trillion billions of conscious beings. If there is no thing in the universe greater than that, it is still great enough for me. We might have asked Carl Jung whether he thought there was a collective conscious, or Gautama Buddha if he really meant all when he said, "The mind mirror illumines all ingenuously, the whole universe a gem of light beyond terms of in and out." Or we may ask ourselves, there is no difference. In a single moment of inexplicable realization, we may see that consciousness in the universe is eternal, that by some miracle we have grown into it, and that there is no difference between it and us. It is the same for us all. There is something up there that is infinite and good. It is everything. And it is what we come of. It is what created us, the ones who dream dreams, then make them come real. So love Earth, and none the least, love ourselves, all of ourselves, including the one in the mirror. It is as easy and as hard as just being nice. As we love ourselves, we must protect all from abuse by pricks. Pricks are ourselves too, and we must show them the respect of governing them properly, exactly as we show self-respect by governing ourselves. Just as we must love ourselves, we must overcome selfishness. By doing so, we will not be hurting anyone, though they may feel we are. We will be healing. Handling pricks is being nice to everybody. That will be the base camp for the summit of human endeavor, the nurturing and elevation of us all for a million years and beyond. Secure in this miracle that has befallen us, and to which we will all have attended. Earth will be Eden again, but only when we unfold ourselves upon her that way. We feel we are instances of consciousness. It comes to us, then we go. But just as we share the collective unconscious described by Carl Jung, we also share consciousness. They are both capacities we all share. We tend to experience consciousness as individuals, but as individuals, we are not the proprietors of consciousness. If we are not eternal as individuals, though given the vastness of all that we do not know yet, this does seem a considerable if. If we are not, we are at least limitless vessels into which pours life's experience. Like wells, we are always full. Yet there is always room for more. It doesn't matter how much we are filled, we remain simply full. Wells have water in them, but the water is not something the well creates or owns. Water exists, both before the well is created and after it is long gone. If I were nothing but this well, this vessel that happens to contain consciousness, then there would be an end of me. Consciousness would well up in me, and then, like old wells do, I would crumble. But we are not the wells. We are the water. We are what wells up. We are a heart we all share, that we all feel. It shows what we are. Even if the well were part of us, it would not be the better part. A well with no water is no well at all, but water needs no well to be. Now, we may well up on earth for a million years and beyond, if we wish, but still, only if we dare. No, we are not the wells, we are the water, and we will well up in this universe as long as it's here, the well of us all. All's well. Pass it on. I will. Therefore, I am. Good. Thank you.